You're listening to the We Speak Common podcast network. For more information and to support the show, head to wespeakcommon.com.
Welcome to the 13th episode of Tavern Talk on the We Speak Common network. This show is made possible by our wonderful patron supporters and incredible partners at the Dice Dungeon, where you can get 10% off your entire order with the code WESPEAKCOMMON at checkout, as well as our partners at Describe, spelled DSCRYB, where you can find amazing box sets as well as descriptions, and with the code COMMON at checkout, you can save 10% off each month on your subscription for the first 2 years. Now, settle in by the fire, because this is Tavern Talk. Start with you saying, let's start this shit.
We'll just roll right into the ball with that. I'm so fucking tired. Let's do this shit.
Yeah, me too. I'm also very tired. It's me, Dave. Very tired, Dave. And you, very tired, Chris.
That's me. Now, we ended last episode. We ended our D&D horror story. Oopsie doopsie episode. Halloween horror stories episode, talking about how you're a min-maxing piece of shit.
Yes. About my most recent character that I have.
So we decided we're going to talk about today, because I'm in the opposite spectrum. I am more go with the flow.
You make terrible characters, is all you
I I go with the way the campaign sorts out and what makes sense with the decisions I've made or the what's been presented to me, and how I build my characters and go from there. It's not as optimized, but it does seem a little bit more, in my opinion, more entwined in the story. And you're on the opposite spectrum.
I think I'm very story driven, but I think I adapt the stories around my builds. That's what I would say.
So what, like your decisions that you make, like to kind of go towards making it, or?
Yeah, so I have like a character library of like 69 different builds that probably are just sitting around. And then I do is I break down. So I have, this is going to sound very intense to a lot of people. So I have each character build. I do this for a lot of them. So I have my normal builds. So I have like my early doors builds that will be like level 3, or whatever level I'm actually playing at. And then I'll have another exact copy. So I'll duplicate it in D&D Beyond. And then I'll have it in brackets final build. So I will plan out my entire steps for the entire character. And then I will go back to it and adjust that if I need to, if I feel something's changed. That's me. I've already planned my full build for Ben's next campaign, which we're probably going to play for another year and a half.
And how many levels of that?
That's 20. 20 full levels of planned. Yeah. Yeah.
You're nothing if not thorough.
Yeah.
I rolled dice, and whatever happens, happens.
I could briefly go through my build for my next character, if you want.
Please talk us through how you planned out.
I actually, funnily enough, have it open accidentally, because I was just looking at it before.
Well, accidentally, as I provide a segue into being able to talk about it. Okay.
So we're playing Odyssey of the Dragon Lords next, which is like a Greek, you'd like this, Greek mythology style stuff.
Ben and I have talked about it a lot.
Yeah, it's super cool. So I'm playing a Thalean Medusa, which is like the Medusa race, which is super fun. Like a curse being, and the fun thing is they can be any like gender. So I'm playing a male Medusa, or one that identifies male. I don't know how they present fully in it yet. We'll see at some point. I need to read it all. They are going to be a fighter mainly, but I'm using my subclass I built that you can get that on our Patreon. My stone warden build. Look at me dropping things in there.
I forgot we released that on the Patreon.
Yeah, we did.
We'll talk about that in the episode.
We'll talk about that. You like that a lot. We talked about this a lot. So 16 levels of stone warden. And then 4 levels of ranger. It's not heavily min-max, but the only thing I wanted was, because it's very Odyssey Greek style, was the giant, the I think it's the hunter ranger, has the like monster killing ability. So it's like you get like horde breaker, giant slayer, and I can't remember the other one. I wanted giant slayer just for the thought of like, you know, it's like all the big giants, cyclopses, and killing stuff like that is super fun. So that's mildly story driven, but still quite min-max.
It fits in the world. I'll give you that. It fits more into the world than some of the other ones you've told me about. That's just like, oh, here's a beefcake and he's just going to fuck shit up.
Did I tell you about the, so this is a fun one. So someone asked me to make a stat block. I'm just going off a tangent here, but someone asked me to make a stat block for them, which I made, and it was designed to have a 1-on-1 fight, which would to probably like a difficult fight for 1-on-1 in an arena. For original parties, and then they were like, oh, can you build a character to play against this? And I built a hobgoblin fire barbarian, and I absolutely pummeled it into the ground. And I think I had like over 100 hit points left by the end of it.
Ridiculous.
I thought, on the note of fire barbarians, we just had a Dyrrhenia game last night. And we fought a Dracolich, and both the other characters went down, Ben and Wes's characters, and my character had 99 hit points at the end of that combat. It was crazy. But a Fire Barbarian is the just most disgusting health builds and like just melee build ever. It's great. It's one of my favorites. Anyway, tell me more about story-driven things.
That's brutal. We'll touch on that in a second. One of my like normal players, he's not allowed to play druids anymore.
Okay, tell me more.
And that was a group decision. That wasn't just like me saying, hey, your teacher, like this was the group deciding that, like, hey, you maybe shouldn't play these at this table anymore.
Oh, no. That's interesting, because I never thought of druids as like a dangerous build, like a
that's what I thought, and then he played druids and I give you shit about being a min-maxing fuck a lot. He's worse.
Oh no,
I love him, but he's worse. He did something and it was just like 2 or 3 rounds of combat and he did an insane amount of damage. At
what did they do? Like, what?
It was a whole big, like, he had everything planned out. Like, he definitely looked something up and, like, was following a guide of how to, oh, you can deal X amount of damage if you do these steps.
There's that fun one where you can, like, get an insane amount of velociraptors or something. Like,
no, this was just straight. Like, you, like, reversed gravity and then set up, like, erupting earth or something. And it was just, like, so everyone's, you know, dealing, like, a normal amount of damage for the level. And then he just swoops in and, like, kind of, you know, I hate like main characters, the entire thing. It's just like, don't worry, guys, I got this.
I throws it up in the air and then,
and then does like 100 something damage.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this wasn't your vignette, bud. So it looks like he's still kicking.
Oh, no.
Well, this was, he did this during when I had talked about in the past when I did a dream sequence for each one of my players.
Yes.
So this was for the player who I was doing like, hey, here's what would have happened if you would have like never been cursed and never left your village.
Oh, that's fun.
So I was going through the whole like kind of nightmare scenario since like he was off away from the village. And I'm like, all right, cool. Like big wolf, like because you're a hunter, things like that. And like, this is your hunting party. I gave them all like, here, make a cleric this, make a cleric like this. And they were only, I don't even think that they were like level 7 or 8 at the time. I don't remember what level. And he was just like, he took the druid right away. And I'm just like, ah, shit.
Let's just nuke this entire group.
Pretty much. Cause I'm like, I formatted it and like, cool. Cause I gave him originally like pre-made stat blocks. Like I just pulled from books, and kind of reflavored it a little bit. And they're like, oh, can we make some changes? Just like make it better for our play. Like, oh yeah, sure. Like I didn't know what Druids could do at the time.
That's very interesting.
So he took what I gave him and then just ran with it the other direction. And I'm like, oh, yeah, shoot.
That's cool. I've never played a Druid. That's interesting.
I've done a Druid on like a one shot, like a while ago.
Yeah.
I haven't revisited because I've either been too busy or I've been running games.
Yeah.
I will say I did run a Druid in that campaign as like one of the side characters, who was important to the story, which was real fun. If you've ever seen Little Shop of Horror, I based him completely off Seymour.
Very fun.
And literally I did an entire like storyline in the campaign that was mirroring Little Shop of Horrors and none of them had seen it. So no one saw it coming.
No way.
It was great.
People haven't seen that.
That's what I said.
People need to go and just watch that if they have it's not so seen good. That.
It is one of my favorite performances of all time. Good.
So good.
In the ways of story driven.
Yes.
I like it a lot more, especially from a DM's perspective. I like to work with my players. And like with min-maxing, for example, like if I had a player come to me, he's like, hey, like, this is my game plan. This is what I want to do.
Yeah.
As a DM, like, I feel it's a lot easier to work that into the story wise instead of, you know, oh, I'm like the story is going one way because I didn't communicate anything. Mm-hmm. But now it's like, hey, I know we're in like holy ground, but like I felt like taking a level in Warlock or things like that, where it just kind of like goes against the grain of like how things have been looking.
Feels
the story
wrong.
That doesn't really.
Yeah.
It feels wrong.
That makes sense. I mean, I think I've become more story driven since I as a player anyway, going Ben's games, because he kind of like forces that upon you in a not in a terrible way, but in a good way. Like he makes you think about your choices more because he intertwines it more, which is good. And it's because I don't play in Faerun as well. I don't DM in Faerun as well. So obviously I'm a player in Faerun, which is interesting to, I know like some Faerun lore just because D&D, but learning all that and taking it all in and Baldur's Gate helps.
Baldur's Gate definitely helps.
Baldur's Gate is probably the reason why I had a lot of Salune stuff, because it's just rife with Salune stuff in Baldur's Gate. So I used a lot of that in my new character.
Okay.
Yeah.
I love that. That Baldur's Gate has been, I haven't played it in weeks at this
point.
Me
too. I haven't had time, which sucks. But
I've been doing job interviews and all that other stuff. Yeah. It hasn't been fun. But I think, I completely agree that going story based, especially if like you're in that sense and they're following the lore of the world, makes a lot more sense. I've met players that are very like, oh, you'll tell them what the campaign is and like, here's the vibe of the campaign. And then they'll come up with a min-max character that is like the opposite of everything that was like told
not,
them.
Not good.
That's not a good, you know.
No. I think that's, I've had that before when I've, when I wanted to get back in DMing after a break, I put a post out on, I think it was the Eberron Discord server, and I had a group of people on there, and they one of them joined and made like a character that I was like, what even, it doesn't make any sense, like even lore based in Eberron and you're on an Eberron server. Why? It doesn't make any sense.
I think we can branch this into like an extra topic for the episode, because I think we've covered a lot of min-max versus story driven. But communicating, DMs communicating with players and players communicating with DMs about expectations.
Yes.
So I think the second half of this episode is going to talk about that from the way this conversation is going. Because we are only at like 12 minutes of recording.
Yeah, we've got a lot of time. We're doing well.
We're good. We're doing well. We haven't had a drink in the past few episodes we've released, so I think that's part of our problem.
We're recording in the week as well a lot recently, that's why. Because I do not want to be hungover while I go to work.
And they've done that, not fun. No, holiday was yesterday. We'll do a little break in between not talking about these things. If you're on the We Speak Common, if you're on the We Speak Common Discord server, I think we've talked about it a little bit. It ends today, but it is the Crooked Moon Kickstarter.
Oh yes.
Just yesterday became the
most backed,
5e Kickstarter. of all time so far, because it seems like the past few I've seen and backed have become that. Because I think what was the...
I don't know what the other one was.
The other one, which I'm blanking on, and I don't have Kickstarter pulled up yet. I know Ryoku's, I think, was close or did become the most backed. And then Crooked Moon just kind of decrowned it. And then there was Steinhardt's Guide, which took it, which was like
the first. You backed that too, didn't you? Yeah.
I backed all three of them and I'm super excited. With Ryoku's, I saw some of the things they were doing and like the colossal battles and things like that. That's kaijus.
Yeah.
And I was sold on it. So I have a lot of books coming.
Yeah.
That I'm sure I will talk about, and a lot of crazy ones as well.
Yeah.
And
I will soon fill up my bookcase and we'll have to go from there.
What have you gone for? What set have you picked on that?
On Crooked Moon?
Yeah.
I just did the basic book.
Okay. Classic book.
Classic book. I'm poor, so.
That's fair.
That's what we had to do. But I did.
Do you get any, you got some free dice. You got two lots of free dice, actually.
I got two lots of free dice because I booked. I was like.
VIP thing, right?
I did the VIP thing, which gave you, which a lot of Kickstarters do.
Yeah.
But it's a good idea. It's a really good idea. They'll release like a pre, like, hey, you know, sign up for like a VIP or like for a notification when this happens.
Yeah.
And I think they did a, it was like put in like a dollar or something to reserve like a VIP spot. And then when you order a, physically backed product, then you get one of the, pins that I think it's the Crooked Moon pin that's available in the core box, which is like normally $150 just for the box in total.
Yeah.
But I wanted the pin, so we went there.
Yeah.
And then because I backed within the first 72 hours, they also gave away free dice. The Horn King ones. And then the other day they announced that they're also doing a Halloween set of
dice.
Which
is really nice, actually.
With all physical backers that look real nice. And we can definitely dedicate one of our next episodes where we want to sit down and record.
We could even do some kind of Kickstarter
series or whatnot. If you'd like to see that, let us know in the episode discussion tab on the We Speak Common Discord.
I backed a lot of them recently. I backed a lot of them recently. Yeah, we're both very bad for it.
We're both very bad. I think I have to delete Kickstarter off my phone one of these days. But I think highlighting some of the opportunities that, you know, backing Kickstarter early, if it's from a creator that you know a lot about or you have followed for a minute or just like looks really cool. Mm-hmm. And they have some really cool bonuses that if you back within the first 72 hours, a lot of popular YouTubers in the D&D space normally are promoting them within the first 72 hours of them going live. And they'll normally lead you some bonuses. But back to communicating between DM and players. Now that we've had this little ADHD sponsored vignette.
Look at you hyperfixating on the word vignette this episode.
It's been a day. Dude, listen, I've been cooking all day, so be glad I'm not saying vinaigrette.
Bit of vinaigrette.
I do think it's super important if you're a DM and you have a party of players coming in, be it your party you've had for a while, a party you've had for a while, plus a new player, a party of new players, whatever. It's super, like, you don't have to give away the entire plot line of your entire story, but at least conveying some of the themes, and it's session zero, essentially. Yeah. Convey some of the themes that you're looking for, kind of like hits of what the story you're trying to tell is. You don't have to give everything away in session zero. You just have to make players aware that it's like, hey, this is what we're thinking. Hey, here are some things that might be triggering that I'm like, the themes that might be present.
I've also spoken about on the server recently, which was very funny.
So, yeah, exactly. We can also do a full episode dedicated to talking about things to do in Session Zero.
Session Zero would be a good episode to do, actually.
I think so. I don't know if we have one in the main show. I don't remember.
Who knows?
There's a lot I've listened to.
But the other thing as well, like, is just like setting specifics, especially if they're not played in it before. If you just let them go in blind, they will probably not be 100% sure, or and they're just going to like make something random, or they'll just like get something incorrect. Because as well, like, the general setting information might not be correct to your game, right? So
exactly. And I mean, if you do have a new player, send them over to the We Speak Common page, and we have plenty of guidelines for them to help reference or kind of work with them to kind of help them understand a little bit better than just going in completely blind and clicking buttons on D&D Beyond and like not knowing
doing
how
what
to
we
get
did to random.
Flashback to the randomized episode. But just help giving lending a helping hand. I mean, we do have a great community over here in D&D Beyond or in We Speak Common. D&D Beyond, I'm so tired.
Well,
we do have a community.
You're more tired than me, I think, in that sense.
It's been a week. We have a great community here at We Speak Common.
Yeah.
That is always more than happy to welcome people in, give tips, tricks, advice,
There's
feedback.
Been some interesting talks about whether seeing D-Phrase some belly buttons today. That's something that flashed up my lives at work. That's wild. I was like, what is happening?
That was like one of the first things I read when I woke up this morning was a discussion based on if Dragonborns have belly buttons or not. In 5th edition, they come from eggs, so they don't. And I'm going to say that right here on the podcast.
Confirmed.
That might be a decisive opinion, but that's how it happens. And that's what I stick by.
Bends the rules.
It's going to be real funny as this episode's going to air in 2 weeks and we're going to start that fight up again.
D&D
space is a welcoming community. We here at We Speak Common are a welcoming community. There's always going to be someone that's happy to lend a helping hand.
Absolutely.
Any of us, anyone on the page.
Yeah.
This is now just becoming a promo for how great the We Speak Common Discord server is.
It's good though, because we've got a lot of experienced people in there, both players and DMs. So if you're new, like, jump on and have a chat.
Have a chat. Well, I think we're winding down from the total of how this conversation's been going. So I think it's time to ring the bell for last call, even though we don't have a drink in our hands.
No, which is deeply upsetting, but
I know, we gotta stick doing that.
Midweek
more.
Drinks is no good. Listen,
a bottle of wine every now and again during the week.
I look like I'd recover after a bottle of wine.
You act like you haven't seen me down an entire bottle of wine while we're playing
mid-week.
A game.
Midweek? That's not a good
idea. Don't judge my life.
I'm judging it. anyway, bell, go.
But anyway.
It's not ring already. Ben, ring it again.
We started the episode talking about min-maxing versus story.
Yes. Talk about AA meetings.
We'll get there eventually.
So,
but I think it kind of boils down to the second what we talked about in the second half of this the episode, kind of communicating between DM and player and player and DM about what you want for your story. I say that in the sense of the player talking to the DM about what the player wants for their own story and the DM talking about what they have in mind for their story.
I think finding the balance the other thing I wanted to say as well before this was that I think the balance of finding like optimized characters and story driven characters as well is like you don't want to build a character that's completely useless and just be like, I just this messy thing that I don't know how to, I can't do anything in combat, I can't do anything in role play, or it's just
exactly. Let's touch on that as we kind of wind down, because you brought up your character who was just an absolute tank.
Yes.
Right? He can hit things real hard.
He can hit things really hard.
But if you were a DM that was running more of a social intrigue based campaign,
they would have a bad time in that.
They would
right?
have a bad time.
Exactly.
So it's all about that communication. So if you want to min-max a character, that's great. That's your prerogative.
Yeah.
But make sure you've got all the details from what to expect in the campaign you're building it for.
Exactly.
Your character for Odyssey, I'm sure Ben's already given you a basic rundown of how the world works and what like the storyline is going to be in a year and a half, even though that's already ready, but you know, to each their own. But communication. Yeah. That's the theme of today's episode, whether we knew it or not 20 minutes ago when we started recording. But talk to your DMs, talk to your players. Have a great time. Join the We Speak Common Patreon and Discord server and tell us what you thought about this week's episode.
Yes.
And tell us your stories. Like if you have a character based on that grew through a story, or if you have a character that you min-max and had a concept that you took in or have been waiting to take in, to a campaign or a one shot or whatever, we'd love to hear about it and talk about it.
We would definitely love to hear it. Yeah, absolutely.
Anything else we got? We got the Patreon. We got the Discord about how great everything is.
Go get some dice.
Go get some dice.
Dice Dungeon.
I might be poor, but I'm always got room for dice.
We always need dice. Right. I'm going to go because I'm tired and you're tired as well.
It's 8:30 or something for you?
Yes. Yes, it is. Yeah, but I've been awake since 5 o'clock this morning.
Yeah, no thanks. Hard pass. I say that as if I haven't been awake, but you're so much. You're 4 hours ahead of me right now. So
I am. Anyway, right.
But I'll it's been great. Later.
It has.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Thanks again for joining us here on Tavern Talk. This show wouldn't be possible without our generous Patreon members, as well as our friends over at the Dice Dungeon, where you can pick up all your premium D&D and Dice Goblin essentials without paying a premium price. Plus, you can use code WESPEAKCOMMON at checkout and save 10% off your order. And the creative minds behind Describe, spelled D-S-C-R-Y-B, who provide game-ready box text, as you see in your favorite pre-written modules, to help you tell your next epic story. Offering DM and player scenes to choose from, with more than 600 free scenes and over 10,000 scenes available with a subscription. You can try Describe tonight. And once you decide to subscribe to Describe, you can use code COMMON at checkout for 10% off every month for your first 2 years. Until next time, we'll keep the fire going for you.
Thanks for listening to the We Speak Common podcast network. If you enjoyed the show, be sure to leave a review on your platform of choice and share us with a friend or D&D group near you. If you'd like to directly support the network and the production of new shows like the one you heard today, head to the description of this episode or our social media pages for a link to our Patreon page. You can connect with the show on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at We Speak Common.